Hola, amigos. This is Ray Hudson from beIN Sports and Sirius XM FC, and you are listening to Barca Talk.
Today on Barca Talk, Antoine Griezmann had a great performance but failed to score in the first half, not even with a penalty kick when facing Claudio Bravo, our old friend. It looked like Barca was going to drop points again despite creating many goal opportunities. Then, Magic Messi appeared and everything changed. A must win for Barca.
Hello everyone, welcome to Barca Talk, part of the Blaugranagram Podcast Network. I'm Alejandro Villegas, coming to you from Miami. And joining me today in this episode, we have Logan Stanley, who is in Huntington Beach right now in California. How are you, Logan?
Doing good, even better after a nice La Liga win. That was really needed from the past couple of weeks in La Liga, so I'm in a very great mood right now.
Yeah, I know, refreshing, right? After four straight games in La Liga without a win, it's good to come back to the winning ways.
Exactly. Especially when you wake up at 7 in the morning, so it's just nice to if we didn't win that, I would have been double as angry.
Yeah, that's something that you guys in the West Coast have to suffer a lot, right? Like waking up early sometimes to watch La Liga.
Yeah.
So today for you was like around 7 a.m., right?
Yeah, 7:15 was start time. As it's not as bad as the EPL because I know they have some 4 or 5 o'clock games.
Right.
So I'm kind of lucky as a La Liga fan, but, you know, the East Coast definitely gets it a lot better.
Yeah, I know, because I was watching Everton against Manchester United earlier. Mm-hmm. So for you, that had to be way too early. Yeah. So what do? Do you have breakfast? Do you get a cup of coffee, or how do you go about it?
I had a 6:30 start time probably, and then I get myself some toast. Nothing too heavy for the game because, you know, I have to be on my top shape. But for the EPL games, I'm sleeping. I'm dead asleep. Unless it's a massive game, I am sleeping. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right. And you were doing a live broadcast today, right, with the Blaugranagram?
Yeah, people. I do a live broadcast with Blaugranagram and Omar. It's pretty fun. It's awesome.
Nice. So you guys can check that out every time during the games. We're doing this. It's a good opportunity. So you guys get to know Logan, get to know Omar, get to know what we do there. At Blaugranagram, it's fun because it's during the game, so you guys can talk to us during the game, and we can talk about it exactly as it's happening. So it's a little different experience from what we're doing right now in the podcast, and that way you can actually see Logan. If you can't see Logan right now, he looks like Puyol wearing that sand colored uniform that Barca used to have, remembering those glory years and Puyol. And you can see Logan and how he looks exactly like our captain right now. So talking about Blaugranagram, they have an article that was pretty interesting, and I want to talk to you about this before we dive into the match. Pedri said before this game that he feels he's at his best when he plays as a number 10. And, I mean, we had to see it right now because if Coutinho is not playing, he's injured, he's still – we don't know exactly when he's going to come back. And so Koeman had to do different things, right? And since he's not counting on Puig, who would have been a great guy to have there, Pedri is the one taking charge in that position. So how do you feel about Pedri playing as a number 10? You think that's his the best version of Pedri? Or you think you like it when he plays a little bit more close to any of the lines?
No, I agree. I think the center of the field is the best spot for Pedri. I think he excels there, especially in an area where we need creative playmaking, and he does that very well. A lot of balls over the top, which we haven't seen in the past. A lot of scoop over the top through balls that we never see anymore. And I feel like in the center attacking mid position, you don't need as much pace. And he goes to the left attacking mid in the sideline, and he doesn't have as much pace as a lot of our other wingers. So it's a lot harder for him to get down the line. But when he's in the center of the field and he can facilitate, he's pretty incredible, to be honest, especially at that age.
Yeah, right. We have to remember, people, he's only 17 years old. We talk a lot about Ansu Fati and all the things that he's been doing, but Pedri's also in that age group, and it's pretty impressive what they're doing right now. What I love about Pedri, too, is like he can come back and help a lot with the defense, too. He's faster than Coutinho, of course. Mm-hmm. He can do both things, like create a lot of offensive situations, like you said, creating chances, and then also help a lot our midfield that, as we know, suffers a lot when we have to come back and try to defend our are gold, right? So that's what I like about Pedri, right? I mean, he's too young, and we're going to go over his game against Betis because he had a couple of great plays there. But he's definitely one of the future references for this Barcelona. When he came from Las Palmas, everybody was like, what are they signing these guys? So young, paying so much money, leaving him on the team when we have Ricky Puig, right? I think that was a fair debate to have. I mean, you have Ricky Puig, he was actually pretty good when Setien gave him a shot. And then Pedri came up and you're like, why are you bringing in another player that looks and plays exactly like him? And we're seeing kind of why they decided to sign Pedri at this point, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, he's been pretty incredible, and he's going to be a mainstay in our starting lineup. It feels like he's been pretty insane. He could even take Coutinho's position at some point. Obviously, they've been playing well, but he'll get his minutes when Coutinho comes back. Yeah, he's literally just been incredible. He's been beyond what I expected. And you have to think, too, these people, we're fresh off the Arthur exit. So we're thinking, hey, I wasn't thinking this possibly, but I know a lot of fans were, hey, this guy's the next Iniesta or Xavi. This guy can play this way.
Right.
You know, and it might have not worked out. I personally didn't think he played well in the last couple of months. But it's so refreshing to get a youthful player. I mean, I will give Melo credit. He was young, but it's so nice to see a 17-year-old on top of being younger than Fati playing just as well as Fati, feels like, at a high level, even in Champions League. So I'm excited for our future at the club. Obviously, this feels like a rebuilding year as well. So I'm just interested to see how this plays out.
Right, and he played a great game against Juventus. You were talking about the Champions League, and that's where everybody, like, not around Barca, was like, okay, so this guy can actually play at this level and against the best teams, and Juventus is one of them. Mm-hmm. So talking about the best, we have some of the Betis players that used to be Barcelona's a couple of years ago. And I wanted to talk about this because it's funny how many players that have played or that grew up in the Barca system that play right now for Betis. So we had Claudio Bravo. He played for Barca. You guys know him. He was my goalie when we had to pick our favorite Barca teams of all time. Mm-hmm. Cristian Tello. Mark Bartra, three of them, Sanabria, who scored the goal. He grew up in La Masia, and he's a Barca product, and now he's playing against us. And Emerson, who's a Barca player and a Betis player, 50-50. Mm. So at least five guys from Betis that are related to Barcelona. But talking about Claudio Bravo, you remember those years with Claudio Bravo? And we had, at that point, I think we had the best combination you can have in the goal, right?
No.
We had Claudio Bravo playing in La Liga, and we had Ter Stegen playing in the Champions League and the Copa del Rey, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe at that point, we didn't realize how good that combination was. Yeah. But right now, looking at it, you're like, man, we had two of the best goalies at that point playing for us.
Oh, yeah. It was glorious seeing them go back to back. And it wasn't one of those things where one was less than the other. So like this guy was playing easier games. They were both honestly just as good as one another at that point in 2015. So they're basically in their primes. And obviously, Ter Stegen still feel like he is in his prime. But they weren't switching off because one was better than the other. They were both equally great and like outstanding world keepers. So it's pretty interesting to see how their careers panned out. Obviously, Claudio Bravo didn't really work out at City just because Ederson came on the way and more of a sweeper keeper type guy, but we were incredibly lucky, and I think we didn't realize it at that point.
Yeah. So now looking back, you're like, yes, we had a great team and we had two great goalies. So, and that doesn't happen very often. And you're right. I mean, at that point, Ter Stegen even talked to Barcelona. It's like, all right, these guys, I mean, Bravo has to leave if I'm going to be the goalie here, because if not, I'd rather go somewhere else to play for all the competitions and be the starting guy in Barcelona. So I wanted to talk about that situation. Tello, of course, one of those young guys that at that point, maybe he came up in the wrong era, right? Because we had so many good attacking players when he came up with Barca. So he never got as many minutes as he maybe could be getting right now. Like Tello, the young Tello, in this team maybe would have played a lot more, right?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think he'd get a lot more team time. It's definitely one of those things where we don't have time or minutes for him and they leave, because it's like the Thiago situation too. They couldn't find their minutes and they weren't able to progress, so they had to leave in a sense. So I actually really enjoyed him growing up. He was the small little quick guy. I enjoy players like that, but obviously, you know, things happen, lineups change, and you aren't able to get the same amount of minutes. But yeah, he's a great player still, and he kind of proves it. I mean, Betis is a great squad. They're in the, you know, top 10 of La Liga, and he still plays at a high level. So more power to him.
Yeah, and the other one, Mark Bartra, talking about missing defenders. We don't have a third defender right now. They're all injured.
Yeah.
So De Jong is our third one. And Bartra was one of the options right there. I don't know if that goal, you remember that goal against that we conceded in the Copa del Rey final that Bale just went past through him.
Yeah.
I think that changed a lot of the way that Barcelona saw Bartra.
Yeah.
But he was good. He was young, but he was good. And I don't know. I think we let one go there. And he could have been our third defender right now. Or maybe he would have been Piqué and Bartra there. On defense, and what do you think about Bartra at that point? Because then he went to Dortmund, and then now he's back to Betis. But at that point, young Bartra, I think he deserved more of a chance, right?
No, I totally agree with you. This is the one guy out of the Betis squad that I'm like, wow, we should have never gotten rid of him at any point. I think I thought at that time when he was playing for us that he was the future. He was the sort of the Lenglet of that time, where he was going to come up, he was going to partner with Piqué. And obviously, you know, he might have lost minutes from Mascherano at the beginning of his career a little bit. That kind of hindered his progression. Yeah. But I personally thought he was the future of our club at center back. I really did. And when we sold him to Dortmund, I was pretty sad about it. And he still plays a high level as well. Maybe he didn't turn out to the extent of which I thought he was. But he's still a great center back. And he's a great looking guy. He'll sell your jersey. He's got a great haircut. He's just a solid looking dude. And he plays well, too. So he's going to sell jerseys and put people in the stadium.
I know. So those are three of the players that played today that had a lot of minutes with Barca. Yeah. Sanabria just scored in this game, and he grew up in the Barca system, but he never really got to the first team. Yeah. And Emerson, we haven't still seen him wearing the Barcelona jersey, but we might see him at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe when Sergio Roberto leaves, we don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yes, he'll probably retire there in Barcelona. So, just before we go to the break and then we dive into the actual match review, this Barcelona win against Betis, a couple of positives for COVID-19 in Real Madrid. I know this is not a Real Madrid podcast, but this is like sort of a La Liga podcast, right? And this has to worry all the teams. Casemiro and Hazard getting two positive tests in La Liga. And, I mean, this could be getting a lot scarier if we get more and more cases in La Liga. I mean, we saw how the cases are going up in Spain. Mm-hmm. It's happening here in the United States as well. And these athletes, even though they're kind of in a bubble, mm-hmm. they're still getting positive. So that has to worry the entire La Liga, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think UK is back on lockdown, so it's a lot harder for players to go out and do stuff and be able to go eat as well.
Yeah.
And it's just spiking cases in general. This is what's going to happen in winter with it being somewhat of cold, and people are going to get, you know, people are going to get sick, obviously. And this is a pandemic. We can't forget about that. And obviously, that's why fans aren't in stadiums. But when you have a team and you have so much personnel interacting and having to do all these things, it's going to happen at some point, unless it's like the NBA Finals bubble where they're all just sitting inside. But it's a lot easier to take care of that when you only have 10 guys on the roster. So it's just going to be really hard to keep the scope going. Hopefully, we won't have to do a lockdown and the leagues won't get stopped again. Hopefully, they'll find something that works for each of these clubs. But yeah, for now, all these players there's a lot of positive cases. It's kind of worrying.
Yeah. And it might have to change the way La Liga is approaching it, right? Like, I mean, in Spain in general, they let people out a little bit more in the last couple of months, but now they might have to come back to the reality that we saw when La Liga came back with like almost just straight from home to the training grounds and from the hotel to the stadium, and that's going to change again, because if not, we might end up not having a season, which is what we don't have, what we don't want at this point. So we're going to go to a break, and after this short break, we're going to be talking about the Barcelona-Betis game here in Barça Talk. All right, we are back with Barça Talk, ready for our match review about this game from Barcelona against Betis at Camp Nou. They won 5-2. Their starting lineup, they're staying in the goal. Roberto in the right, Piqué, Lenglet in the defense, Alba playing as a left back, Busquets and De Jong in the middle, Dembele, Pedri, Fati, and Griezmann. So no Lionel Messi, and this is the first time Messi doesn't play in La Liga as a starter since 2018 against Athletic Bilbao, and that day Barcelona tied. And this, I mean, Messi had 51 straight games playing the entire game, 49 with Barcelona and 2 with Argentina. It had to come at some point, right? Messi getting a little rest, especially before having to travel to South America to play for the qualifiers to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And the interesting point thing here is it came right after all this polemic came up in during the Champions League game. He was running or he was not running in the last play against Dinamo Kiev. So what do you think? You make it? You think it was just giving Messi a rest? You think he had to be a little bit with what happened that day? How do you look at it?
No, I think Messi was just getting rest. I also saw reports of him possibly with ankle issues.
Yes.
But it seemed like he didn't have any in the second half. So I think
he looked pretty fine.
Yeah, he looked fine to me because he was the difference maker at that point. But he could play on two broken legs and still be the difference maker too. So, but no, I think it was just a rotational thing to get him minutes. He's getting older. Obviously, he's not going to be able to play every 90. He wants to, but you don't really want to do that to him, especially in a game like that, obviously. But I think, yeah, it seemed like a rotational thing. And I think the Khabib, the Champions League clip is kind of taken out of context because it was only the last 30 seconds of the game and they were about to blow the whistle anyway. And they had all other 9 guys behind the ball. So I don't think there's a problem. I don't think there's any anger between him not running. People need to realize that, like, Messi is he's a tactical positive. You need to have him at full energy all the time. So you can take a little bit of him off our defense in order for him to be a part of our attacking presence. So you have to make those trade-offs. Obviously, you want him to be able to press 100%, and I get that. I understand why you'd want to do that. But he's so great on offense, and he's so great for us. How do you expect him to press every second of the game?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Young Messi could, could do that, but now – he's at a different stage of his career. And if you saw in that same game, he had to come back around the 60th minute to try to cover for Pjanic and Busquets on a counter. And he had to come back all the way. And he was the young him and Piquet, the only 3-1 that came back to defend at that point. So that should be talked about a lot as well. So that was the starting lineup. No Messi. So we had Pedri playing as a 10. We had Dembele playing in on the right side, Fati playing a little bit more towards the left side, and Griezmann, man. Griezmann played in his favorite position, right? He played as he would like to play it all the time, playing a little bit coming from behind, not as a 9, but a little bit behind with the two wingers as options on the side. And actually, we saw a good version of Griezmann, taking aside all the goals that they missed in the first couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think it was a good version of Griezmann. He played better. He was more present during the attacking chances that Barca had. He just, for some reason, he's just missing the goals.
Yeah. No, I agree. He's a lot more active. He's a lot more on the ball. He's a lot more – he had an assist to Dembele too, I believe. He's definitely a lot more active. But, dude, you got to put the ball in the back of the net. This is why we're paying you, $100 million. Right. Put the ball into the back of the net, which I think will come with time and comfortability with our team because we're still switching up our lineup a lot. But that PK was pitiful, honestly. Now I understand why Messi's how important he is for us for the PKs. That was awful. But, I mean as soon as he starts scoring, I don't think we'll stop worrying and, we'll stop, looking down on him. But because he was pretty good this game, I agree. Definitely an active play. He was good. But put the ball in the back of the net, Grease.
I know. I was writing down all the chances that we had. So Griezmann had this chance in minute 4, minute 11, minute 26, and then the penalty kick that he missed. So that was 4 chances that he had in the first half. Yeah. And they were all very – I'm not going to say easy, but for a player that has the quality that Griezmann had, he could have had 4 goals in the first half because he didn't score in the second half. So that's how, I don't know, how ineffective Griezmann has been in front of the goal. And it's I don't even know how to explain it because the ball goes so close to the goal, but he's just missing.
Yeah.
He's just missing target, which is the main thing, right? When you – the first thing is try to get it between the three posts, right?
Only make a mistake or something, you know, just get it on target, whatever you can do.
Exactly. So, and we saw the same, and it happened during the Champions League too, a very similar situation against Dynamo Kiev. That would have been the second goal in that same game. And at the end, if you look at it, Barcelona missed so many chances in the first half, and they ended up giving away the time goal in the last minute of the first half. So even though Barca was way better than Betis in this first half, they were tying again, 1-1. It's the same thing. And Koeman, he's been saying it a lot. We have to score these goals.
Yeah.
These are the type of games that you should be winning 3-0 after 30 minutes, especially with all these chances, and especially if it's a penalty kick. And you touched on a point that's very interesting, because there's been a lot of talk about how Messi's just scoring from the PKs, right? But here, in these type of situations, you see how important it is to have somebody that you really trust. And look, Griezmann is actually a specialist. He's used to get this when he plays for France. So he's been there. He's missed in the Champions League final before. So he knows a little bit of both situations. But having Messi and having Messi in that situation to get the penalty kicks, it's very important. And it's so crazy how these players go through these stages when they just can't score, you get a penalty and you miss it. You get an open shot and you miss it from both sides, from the left side, from the right side. And I don't know, it's hard to explain actually what's going on with Griezmann. He's just missing the target and that's it. It has to be a little bit mental, but it's also like a little bit of execution.
Yeah,
when he's in front of the goal. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's not a lot of analysis to do there, just commenting what's going on.
Yeah.
And you talked about the assist, and they have to give Griezmann an assist there, but what a golazo by Dembélé, right?
It was more of a goal than like a real assist, I guess. But
yes. Yeah, I mean, Griezmann is the one who passes the ball to Dembélé to the right side.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Dembélé does this great play, and it was awesome. How did you feel about this Dembélé? That's Dembélé that we're kind of used to, right? Like, in these golazos, and then he can't even give a back-to-back passes together. So it's a little bit of both things going at the same time.
So it's nice. I feel like he's been a little bit more consistent lately with his play. I think he's realizing that he can't dribble, you know, 40 meters across the field and then give it up. He's got to give it up a little quicker. So I think his link up plays a little bit faster now. But that was a golazo. Like, that's what you expect from Dembélé. So it was nice seeing that on top of a decent performance from him. So as long as he can, you know, not be injured and be active in our starting lineup, then he's going to make a difference. It feels like, because he's been great the last couple of games.
I agree with you. And it's hard to evaluate him, because remember against Alaves that we tied that game, he played those 45 minutes that were just horrible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Koeman had to take him off. And the situation with Dembélé, and it has to be a lot with who is he playing with on the right side. You see how Roberto started today instead of Dest. Because if you have Dembélé and Dest playing on the same side, they can't really play together, right? So Koeman is going to have to go with one of them. It's going to be either Dembélé and Roberto staying a little bit more back, or it's going to be Dest and maybe, I don't know, Trincao or Messi, whoever plays there in that position. So that's going to be interesting, because you start to see rotations and you start to see like teams within the team, right?
Yeah.
Because if you bring those two together, if you have, I don't know, too many minutes of Dest and Dembélé on that side, you're going to waste one of them, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to hold one of them back or maybe bring Dembélé to the middle. So that was an interesting move by Koeman, because I think we all agree that Dest is a best. Mm-hmm. I mean, is the better right back in the squad, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
100%.
Sergio Roberto is he can get it done, I guess, somehow, even though the two goals came from that side, and we can talk about it a little bit. But I think talking about the starting lineup and how he built the team, I think it was very interesting that he put Dembélé on that side and gave him the chance to really be effective on that side. And then he scored the golazo. So it was a good game for Dembélé for sure. Mm. And something to be looking more closely to see if he can get actually like more and more starts going into the future. So when Barca was winning 1-0, I saw a lot of high pressure, and I've seen this in a lot of games. I don't know why we go with the two guys like De Jong and Busquets so up to try to press the other team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the idea behind it, but then Barcelona is suffering a lot, leaving a lot of space behind that line, right? Because it's not like the four defenders are all crushed up against the other team. And I don't know if you saw it, but we keep suffering from the other team counters all the time, because we go high under pressure, and then when we don't get the ball, it's just all green and let's go run. And we know what happens when we run. We're not going to run at the same pace as the other teams.
Yeah, the transitional pace is just not there anymore, especially with Busquets. So if they already get a head start and then he starts chasing him, there's no way he's going to catch them in any sense, especially when you had Moraba today on the left side and Moreno. I'm sorry, not Moraba, Moreno. And he's insanely fast too. He's a small, quick guy. So it's hard, especially when they have so much space in the middle, because you think about it, you know, in the past, a lot of teams have countered us. It's always been part of our thing because we play possession football. So whenever you lose the ball, you're probably going to get countered, and we didn't seem to have a problem with it. So the pressing pace is just not as there anymore as it used to be, obviously. And when you have guys like Piqué and Lenglet, and they break their line and they come up and they try to make a tackle too high up the pitch, and then they lose their footing, they don't seem to get their ball back, and then we get countered even worse because we only have three defenders back on defense. So they need to pick and choose better when they're going to decide to attack and get a tackle rather than just come up constantly and hope they get their possession back, because it's killing us. It really is, because on the goal that they tied up on today, Piqué came up, tried to make a tackle, bounced off his foot to the wing, and they came back and scored, and he wasn't even back yet. So it's one of those things where they need to get better at picking and choosing, because they're not there athletically as they used to be with Busquets. And Lenglet's not the fastest center back as well. So if we had Araujo, maybe we can come up and make some tackles, because he has that get back speed. But when we play high venomous teams, they're gonna make us pay for that.
Yes, I agree with you. And you talked about Lenglet, and you talked about Moreno and how fast he was. Moreno just flew by Lenglet in the second goal.
And Sergi too. There was no way Sergi was keeping up with him either.
I don't know. It looks so easy. I'm like, wow. Yeah. That's how bad the defense is right now. And talking about that specific player right at the end of the first half, it was interesting because I wrote down earlier before that play, because Piqué tried to do the same, and that was around, I got it written down here, minute 16. He went up trying to tackle and get a ball, and he lost. And then he opened a wide space for Sanabria, and they almost scored there. That was early in the game. And then what you're talking about happened exactly the same at the last play. Dembélé loses the ball, and then we're all over the place.
Yep.
And look at how the ball went so slow through our box. Piqué missed it. Yep. Lenglet missed it. And then Sanabria scores the tying goal.
So frustrating.
I know. It has to be frustrating, especially after having all those chances when they tied. I can't imagine Koeman's message in the locker room, right? Like, guys, come on. We can't just let this happen all the time. We have to win, and we can't just let the other team tie with these chances. So going to the second half, we had of course, a great guy to bring on, right? Lionel Messi was in the bench. We knew he was going to come in the second half. He was warming up during halftime, so he wasn't there for the talk with Koeman. And he came in for Fati. Fati, in that penalty kick play, he got kicked. Obviously, he was the one receiving the foul. And we saw Martin Braithwaite warming up. So I guess Fati wasn't 100%, and that's why he was the one coming up, and Griezmann was having a good game, so it wasn't going to be Messi for Griezmann at that point. So Messi comes up, and it's just 4 minutes. It's all it took Messi and his magic to actually give Griezmann a shot that he could not miss, right? Yeah. If you don't have the goalie and you're by yourself, that's just a chance that you can't miss. But let's talk about that play, because that was just terrific. The vision you have to have.
Yeah.
Because you see the cross, your first instinct is to, you know what, let me try to kick it.
Yeah.
And he let it go, and Griezmann just scored with nobody in the goal.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you're Messi and you're probably one of the best finishers in the world around the box in that area too. Because when he's one-on-one with the keeper, I mean, it's almost a gimme at that point. It's basically like a PK. So for him to have the presence of mind to understand that the guy behind him had a better chance than he did at that point in such a quick instant too, because that ball was crossed from the wing. It wasn't like it was a long played through ball that he knew about. It was a ball that was coming in quick. So you have to make a very quick decision to decide, hey, I'm going to let this run. And especially when you have a good chance like that. So, I mean, that just displays how Messi is like just basically one of the best in the world. He's incredible in that position of Italy, or the best in the world in that area. Just a great mental game by him, obviously. People are going to say, hey, he's not scoring goals in open play, or he's pesky, or he's only hitting. Just watch the guy play and see what his impact is. All you have to do is watch Messi play, and you'll see the simple things that he does to make the team better.
Yeah. It's not just about goals or assists. It's all over the place. Exactly. The pass before the assist and all the way he moves back and gets the ball and helps in the midfield. All the different things that Messi can do. It's just impressive how he does something different every time, right? Yeah. Even at this stage of his career. And that was great. And you saw how happy Griezmann was. Mm-hmm. Of course, had to be a little relief, right? Even though, I mean, he scored against Alaves. It's not like he's been scoring goals, but he should have like at least 5 or 6 or 7 goals more than whatever he has right now. And it sounds crazy, but he should be the Pichichi right now in La Liga. That's how many chances Griezmann hasn't been able to score so far in the 8 games that Barca has in La Liga. So the third goal, it was a little, it was a play that was interesting, right? Penalty kick. It was going to be another goal by Dembele. A great shot after a great play by Barca. Penalty kick, I think it was a clear one. I don't know why it took so long for them to actually make the call. I mean, he was right standing on the line. His arm was open, and the ball clearly hit his arm, and it was clearly a penalty kick and a red card. And here I wrote this down because I think it was the first time, not being teammates, that Messi had to face Bravo in a penalty kick. And you guys remember, Chile beat Argentina a couple of times in penalty kicks in Copa America finals. Yep. One of them here in New York. Yeah. And Messi missed that one.
Thanks for reminding me about that.
Jeez. Yes, and Messi missed that one against Bravo and Chile. Yeah. But, I mean, he scored the one in Chile in 2015. So this one's like the third time they faced each other. I don't know, they maybe have before all that. I don't have the exact stats. I remember those two moments, but it was fun because here you had, I mean, Bravo had a great save against Griezmann in that penalty kick in the first half, and Griezmann didn't actually, like, that wasn't the best kick by Griezmann, right, with the penalty kick. But the way Messi scored that goal, is just impossible for Bravo to actually get to it. So up and with so much strength, it was just impossible for the goalie to get to that ball. And that was another goal by Messi coming from a penalty kick. But you know what? It was another key moment, right? Up by one again with another chance to actually score a goal. Barcelona could have scored 8 goals today. They just missed so many open shots. And it's crazy. But talking about this particular play, do you remember, where were you watching that Copa America final that was played in New York?
I was with my grandpa on our couch. And just more heartbreak for the Argentinians, because I come from I have Argentine descent. So we're just good at losing in finals, I guess. I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, it's just, you get the deja vu. Anytime Messi takes a freak penalty kick, it just feels like it's just the world is like coming in around you, because it's just because, you know, everyone's going to come down on him if he misses, because he can play well. He can be the best player in the world during the game, and his teammates won't be able to help him at all. And then he'll miss a penalty kick, and then the whole world just says it's his fault when he's at, in fact, the best player in the tournament, every tournament he plays in. So it's frustrating, because you know what comes with his penalty kicks and, you know, the backlash he gets.
So it was 3-1 around minute 63-64. Mm-hmm. Betis had one man left, less than Barca. What was the name? The guy's name? I don't remember. The defender got thrown out, red card.
Oh, yeah, Mendy. So,
Mendy, yes. Yeah. So we had around 30 minutes to actually make this an easy game. And it was not an easy game after that red card, right? Mm-hmm. We missed a couple of shots.
Yeah.
Trincao missed one He couldn't finish a couple of shots. Pedri also missed one. And then, again, we allowed the other team, even if they have 10 men on the pitch, to be faster than us, and they created, and they scored the second goal. So it was 3-2 until middle, 80-something.
Yeah.
And these are the type of moments when you see, you know what, this Barca is just so far away from that Barca that we all remember, right? Because that team, when we had one man more than the other team.
Oh, yeah. Game was over.
You knew it was going to be like 5 or 6, and the other team was not going to even touch the ball.
Yeah.
And against Betis, that was not the case. I mean, we talked about it. Lenglet and Roberto were so slow when Moreno came up, and Lauren was by himself, and he scored the goal. And again, it was 3-2, and Betis had a couple of plays that I was like, okay, are we going to wait until they tie the game so we can switch something here?
Yeah.
Busquets played 85 minutes.
Yeah.
85 minutes again for Sergio Busquets, and we saw it. We all saw it. We knew that Busquets was the player that had to come out. But what's going on there?
Yeah, no, I agree. They could have very easily tied that game. We did not do well to keep our lead. That was pretty awful. That was pretty quick. They scored two. They came back in 5 to 10 minutes and already were one down. And they looked like they were about to score again at 1.2. They had a couple of chances in the box that I was like, what are we doing? We're going to give up this game. Give up these points. It's going to be awful. Luckily, Messi had other things to say throughout that game. But yeah, you could tell too with Busquets, that's a lot of minutes for that dude. He's old age. So you give Messi his minutes, and he walks around half the game too, which is fine. But Busquets has to play defense the whole game too. So that guy's playing 85 to 90 minutes a game constantly at his age, and he's just as old as Messi is. They're both old.
Right.
And then he has to play the whole game. So that's a little questionable from Koeman to say, hey, this guy deserves minutes off. Obviously, it's Messi, but this guy's still 32, 33 years old, and he's playing center defensive mid on both sides of the ball, playing deep into the halves and having to transition back. It's just – it's a lot of room for us to get countered.
Yeah, and I just – you know what? I quit trying to explain why Busquets plays in this team. It's just, I guess, Koeman likes the way he plays. So – Messi's goal came in the 82nd minute. Finally, the first time that Messi scored, not from a penalty kick in this tournament, he scored and this season, because the three goals that he has in the Champions League are also coming from a penalty kick. And you saw he knew, and you saw when he had the ball and he was coming to the goal and facing Bravo, you knew he was going to just try to kill Bravo there.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way. I mean, he's been a victim of so many good saves in the last couple of games in the Champions 100%. League and La Liga.
Yeah.
Like, it's just incredible. Like, last time against Alaves, the one that the goalie saved with his right hand, just diving like Superman. And it was just, that's just bad luck for Messi. So this time he's like, you know what? No, I'm going to go up hard and there's no way. And that was game over, 4-2, even though both Betis and Barca had chances after that. Pedri scored another goal. I mean, talk about a reward for a great performance.
Yep.
Pedri is scoring another goal, 17 years old. And it's crazy. I mean, Barca, like we said, they scored 5 goals and it could have been more and more, right?
Yeah.
We get the feeling that it could have been 5, 6, 8. We talked about the 4 that Griezmann missed in the first half. And a couple more than Barca had later in the game. So it was a game that had a little bit of everything, right? Some moments that you're like, okay, this team's playing better. Mm. I like this version of the team a little faster, right? Mm. Faster paced. And then in the second half was a little different, having Messi controlling the attack and all that. So the two versions, which team you like the better? Like the fast-paced Barca that can create a lot of chances but is not as effective? Or maybe a little slower than what we saw in the second half. They were more effective because they have Messi. That's it. And that was the difference maker.
Yeah, definitely. Messi's the difference maker. And although he can't track back, he's able to provide more chances. That's the thing, though, is when Messi wasn't in the lineup, they didn't play the deep block. They were actually up on offense as well, and they didn't have 10 guys behind the ball. So with Messi, you have to have great players around him as well that are able to get past that deep block, because he feels like the only guy in the offense sometimes that has the mind and intelligence and quick-wittedness to get behind the deep block, because we don't have Xavi and Iniesta anymore. We have, you know, we're growing right now. So it's one of those things where it comes with the territory, because if you're going to have that guy in, then they're going to have 10 guys in the box trying to defend against him. But when we had Dembele in rather than him on the right wing, nope. I mean, we had a lot of chances there in the first half, and then they just got deeper and deeper. Right. Messi got in deeper and deeper until they had to come back and get their points back, or try to at least. But yeah, definitely, it comes with the territory. It's hard. You got to make sure these guys can beat that deep block, because that's what we're going to face when Messi's in.
So yes, this was the first time we got to see how this Barca team looks without Messi, because mm-hmm. the first time that Messi hasn't played the 90 minutes. So I have to say, even though we tied in the first 4 or 5 minutes, I like the way the team played,
yeah.
Especially on offense. On defense, it's a different situation, and we know it's going to be hard for them to actually replicate what they did in the past, not allowing a lot of chances for the other team. Something that the color commentators were talking about during the broadcast of the game is that since El Clásico, or even before that, Busquets, Messi, Piqué, and Alba hasn't been in the same team at the same time, the four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell why. I think Koeman is kind of realizing, you know what, these are my four guys that are giving me some sort of trouble on defense. I can't have them, the four of them,
yeah.
at the same time playing for the team, because you're kind of struggling there.
Yeah.
And maybe you can switch off Lenglea and Piqué there, because they both have had their moments in this season, but you're kind of realizing how Koeman is moving the pieces together and trying to find the actual starting lineup that is going to get Barcelona to that level, to try and fight for La Liga at least, because, I mean, we know we're kind of far away from the Liverpools, from the Bayern Munich of the world, but in La Liga, you have to fight. And these 3 points were so important for Barca. Like right now, it looks a little better. If we lost this game against Betis, we're going to be like almost in relegation
yeah.
situation, right? Yeah. So after this win, I mean, of course, we're recording this right after the game. Sevilla is playing Osasuna right now, just to give you an example. They're tying at the moment that we're recording this. But Barcelona with these points goes to the eighth position with 11 points. I mean, a lot of teams still have to play, but it gives you a little relief, right? Because if not, you were going to end up close to the relegation zone with Celta, Huesca, Levante, and those type of teams. So definitely a necessary win for this team, especially now that a little break is going to come, at least as a team, because the players are going to go and play for their countries. But this felt like a must-win situation, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, especially after dropping points the last three games, I believe, in La Liga. So it's one of those things where I started thinking, hey, we might need to like be worried about securing a Champions League spot for next season. Like I'm legitimately worried right now about that, because the way we've been playing does not say, you know, have any with, I have just have doubts about being a Champions League team next season, to be honest with you. But that helped a lot. Obviously it's still early. I know it's cliche to say, and I always say this every podcast, but it's still November. It's still early. It hasn't hit the new year yet. We should be starting getting worried in like, you know, the next couple of weeks. If we're not performing still, then there's going to be a problem. But I think we're still figuring out our lineup as well, and the young players are developing. So, yeah, that was a must-win, though, for sure.
Yeah, and we have to remember that Barca has a couple of games less than some teams, so it's going to be tricky when you look at the standings, because sometimes you're going to be like, what? Yeah. How are you behind, I don't know, Cadiz, Granada, and these teams are a little bit ahead of Barca, even though, well, Granada right now, they haven't played, and they still have 3 points more than Barca in the same seven games, and mm-hmm. they have to play these. Their game for this weekend, but you get what I'm saying. Like Barcelona's gonna come back and be between the. I mean, they're gonna be fighting. They're gonna be fighting for the La Liga title. And right now, looking at the calendar, what's coming up for Barca, it's a little bit easier than the beginning, right? We saw the beginning of the calendar for Barca, and it was a little hard. After, I mean, they're gonna go to a break. After that, they have to face Atletico de Madrid, and then it goes down a little bit. That game against Atletico on November 21st is going to be a great matchup to see how this Koeman team can match up against one of the best teams in Europe. Because after that, they have Dinamo Kiev, Osasuna, Ferencváros, Cádiz, Juventus in the last one. And we know both teams are going to be already qualified for the next round. Yeah. Levante, Valencia, Valladolid. So, you know, it goes down a little bit. Eibar, Huesca,
yeah.
And these type of games that you should be able to win. So hopefully this is the beginning of the Barca going up and getting in the top two teams in La Liga. So, all right. That was it. I mean, it was it. It was fun. A great episode, Logan. It's a lot to talk about in this Barca-Betis matchup.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go to a little break with the national teams playing. But right after that, we're going to be back with Barca-Atletico. And that's one of those games.
Return of Suarez.
Let's see. I'm going to be facing Suarez. Hopefully he can be healthy and play. And we can see that Piqué-Suarez duel right there.
That'll be interesting.
That'll be very, very interesting. And we'll see if Griezmann plays, and we'll see how that goes, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's another topic there. Yeah. So we'll see what happens at that point. But thank you guys for joining us. And remember to visit blaugranagram.com to also be aware of all the content that we are creating, our Patreon feed. You guys can get a special content there. We are still growing as a company, as a content creator company. It's fun, it's great, and we need your support there. So join us in the Patreon community if you can. You can check the link here in the description of the episode, and that's gonna be it for us. So see you later, Logan.
Later, have a good one.
Barca Talk is a production of Sounded Media with social media and promotion by 2.0 and part of the Blaugranagram podcast network. Until next time, Visca Barca.